ॐ अगनाथमिदन्दस्या गणञ्जनाशलभया चक्षुर्मिलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So Ramananda Roy was born or appeared right in Alandanath, which is right near Jagannath Puri. And he was a great scholar. However, because of his, let's say, family, he was considered to be a Shudra. So this is very, very interesting in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes that Lord Chaitanya taught us Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Shudra Kenanai, Ye Krishna, Tatva Veta, Say Guru Hai. Then if one knows the science of Krishna, it doesn't matter if he's a sannyasi or Shudra or Grahastha, whatever, he can be accepted as Guru. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in one sense, accepted Ramananda Roy not precisely as guru, but as his most intimate associate to instruct him about devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, as we're going to be hearing in a few minutes, some rhetorical questions of Ramananda Roy to sort of bring this out. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted as a student, even though he's the original professor, the Adi Kavi, you know, the original professor, the source of all knowledge. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted as the student in order to have Ramananda Roy act as the professor and instruct him in the different aspects of devotional service. We're going to go over that in a few minutes. So Ramananda Roy appeared in the family with four other brothers, and his father's name was Bhavananda Roy. And Bhavananda Roy is considered to be an incarnation of Pandu. Of course, if you remember from the Mahabharata, Pandu is the father of the five Pandavas, and the five sons of Bhavananda Roy were considered to be the Pandavas, incarnations of the Pandavas. Also, Ramananda Roy is considered to be an incarnation of the Shaka Devi. And of course, Srimati Radharani has two primary associates, Vishaka and Lalita Devi, and many temples you'll see the deities of Vishaka and Lalita on the side of Radha and Krishna. And so he's considered to be an incarnation of Vishakadeva as well as Arjuna. So, combination incarnation. So sometimes when we talk about incarnations, it may be empowered incarnations or the actual person. And the Lord's pastimes and energies are inconceivable. I mean, I was listening to a tape of Srila Prabhupada the other day, yesterday in fact, and Prabhupada was telling about how Krishna incarnates in every species of life, which we've mentioned before. And he comes down to give his mercy to all those different species of life, and he's in everybody's heart at the same time. And so it's really, if you think about Krishna and everything he's doing, everything he's aware of, it just, you cannot even conceive of it. I mean, it's impossible. I mean, that's the nature of God. If you can conceive. And then I was listening to Prabhupada tell this story about Narada Muni going to see Narayan, and when he was going to see Narayan, I mean, this is a famous story, but it bears telling again. When he was going to see Narayan, he went by a Brahmin, and the Brahmin asked him, where are you going? Narada Muni said, I'm going to see Narayan. And the Brahmin said, you know, please ask Narayan when I'm going back to Godhead, when I'm getting liberated. And then Narada Muni passed by a simple cobbler, and the cobbler also asked the same question when he was told that Narada Muni was going to see Narayan. And so Narada Muni went to see Narayan. He said, my dear Narayan, Prabhu, or whatever, that, you know, when are these two entities going back to Godhead? And he said, well, the cobbler's going to go back to Godhead right away, right after this present birth. And the Brahmin, you know, many births. So Narada Muni was thinking, you know, what? How's it possible? You know, Brahmanas are supposed to be superior to cobblers. So he asked Narayan, he said, my dear Narayan, why is this? And Narayan said, you know, your question can be answered if you tell the Brahmin and the cobbler that when you saw Narayan, he was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. That's all you have to do, and then you'll understand why I just said what I said. So Narada Muni comes down. And first he goes to the Brahmin, and the Brahmin says, did you see Narayan? And Narada Muni said, yes. And the Brahmin said, what was he doing? And Narada Muni said, he was passing an elephant back and forth through the eye of a needle. And the Brahmin said, this is ridiculous. Impossible, okay. So get out of here, Narada Muni. Basically, I'm adding a little bit to the story. And then then he went to the cobbler, and the cobbler asked, you know, what was Narayan doing? And Narada Muni replied, he was passing an elephant back and forth through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler said, wow, that's wonderful. You know, my Narayan is so wonderful, he can do anything. And Narada Muni said, huh? How can you think like that? How is it possible for someone to do that? And then the cobbler, being more intelligent than the Brahmin, said something very interesting. He said, look at this banyan tree. And this banyan tree has so many different fruits. Aswatthak tree, actually. The banyan tree, same thing. It has so many fruits. They have like figs and everything like that. Not really edible figs. But anyway, they're figs. And he said, in each and every one of those figs, there are so many seeds. In each and every seed, he's put a whole banyan tree. So he's so wonderful. You know, he's doing all these wonderful things. I mean, anybody who looks at the material nature and observes it objectively will actually see that God is amazing. The way he's designed things, the way he's put, you know, all the genetic material into just one little cell. And every cell of your body is the blueprint for your whole body, isn't it? The whole body is actually, the blueprint is there, one cell. So, then when the cobbler explained this to Narada Muni, then Narada Muni said, you're going back to Godhead right away. And so the cobbler went, Eddie Ball. So the point is, one who knows the science of Krishna is to be accepted as guru or a devotee, not someone who is simply on some hierarchical status within mundane society. So Narada Muni and this interaction between the cobbler and the Brahmin showed this, and then Ramananda Roy actually was an example of this particular point. So, Ramananda Roy, even though it was a Shudra family, he was appointed to be the governor of Madras, actually practically everything south of Jagannath Puri, because the kingdom then, like Jagannath Puri kingdom or Orissa kingdom, extended practically all the way to what we know as modern-day Calcutta in the north, and then all the way down to Tamil Nadu, parts of Tamil Nadu, which is Madras, of course, is now known as Chennai. In India, they're going back to some of the original names. So he was all the way down there, all the way up there. So it was quite a big province that King Prataparudra was in charge of. And Ramananda Roy was the governor of a large part of that province, very responsible person. So he lived in a place called Rajamundry. Rajamundry, anyone here been to Rajamundry? You have. Maybe. You don't remember?
No.
That's where the Godavari River is?
Oh, Godavari
River, there's this beautiful temple with all the incarnations of Krishna on the second level. You remember that at all?
I just remember the river. I'm sorry.
And we did a program in the evening at the temple. You don't remember? There's a beautiful temple. The temple's on the second level. And there's a walkway, an elevated walkway around the temple. And there's little cupolas with different incarnations of Krishna in that elevator. You don't remember it. You're getting old. So, anyway, so that's Rajamundry, and it's along the banks of the Godavari. It's a very sacred place. So the story is as follows, that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he gave his mercy to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who's considered to be an incarnation of Brihaspati. And so he sort of converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from being a Mayavadi to being a personalist. And it was interesting that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya previously, he wanted to reinitiate Lord Chaitanya in sannyas. Because he was afraid that Lord Chaitanya was so young and attractive that Lord Chaitanya was not going to be able to make sannyas. So he wanted to bring him up to a higher status of sannyas. This is also Interesting too, because traditionally only sannyasis gave people sannyasis. So the question always arose in my mind that, you know, how's this happening? But anyway, it was. And he wanted to instruct him in the Vedanta Sutra, and he tried to instruct him in the Vedanta Sutra, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after 7 days of being instructed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, said, "I have not understood a damn thing you said, but I understand Vedanta Sutra." And then he proceeded to sort of destroy the illusion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was following the Sarirabhya Bhasha of Shankaracharya in his interpretation of the Vedanta Sutra. And then they discussed this famous verse called the Atmarama verse. And he was able to give so many explanations that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya practically fainted in ecstasy after hearing all those explanations and understood that Lord Chaitanya was actually God, because only God could give as many explanations. So then he became such a great devotee, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became such a great devotee that when he was offered Mahaprasadam by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even before he got a chance to bathe and do his morning brahminical ablutions, he took the Mahaprasadam, having great faith in Mahaprasadam. And even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to change one of the verses in the Bhagavatam where it talks about mukti pade, and he didn't like the word mukti. In other words, someone who was a Mayavadi impersonalist before had even hearing the word mukti made him upset because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So anyway, so he became a great devotee, and after he became a great devotee, he told Lord Chaitanya, he said, "There's this governor of Madras who I really didn't appreciate before, because I used to tease him for being a devotee." I mean, sometimes the Mayavadis, they tease devotees. They say, "Oh, you believe there's a person? Yeah, a person is limited. Therefore, God cannot be limited." But the Vaishnavas know that without having a personality or without having a body, God is limited, because you're taking away one of the aspects of God. God has, he has a form in which he pervades everything. That's one aspect of the Supreme Lord. Another aspect, he is localized, because he has to have everything in order to be God. If he's missing any aspect, he's not God. So anyway, so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, when you go to South India, and Lord Chaitanya was going to tour South India, then you should go and meet Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri, and first he stopped in Singhachalam, which we described previously on Lord Nrsimhadeva's appearance day. Singhachalam, that's where the self-manifested deity of Lord Nrsimha is, coming out of the mountain as Pani Nrsimha, where he drinks half of the sugar water that you give and gives up the other half. So then he arrived at the Godavari. And when he was taking his bath in the Godavari, he saw this governor of the province of Madras, and that was Ramananda Roy, arrive on a palanquin surrounded by brahmanas. Because in those days, if someone was a governor or a head of state, they would always ride on palanquins. In fact, even the women would ride on palanquins. Like Prabhupada said, that his mother basically was always riding on a palanquin, and she'd have to go out. The palanquin, but the idea of the palanquin was that there were curtains on all four sides, so no one could see her. That was the chastity of the woman. So, of course, you can't do that nowadays. I mean, nowadays the women have to work regular jobs at banks and things like that, and you can't put them in palanquins. In fact, nowadays the women drive cars. Right? Don't they? Anyway. So Ramananda Roy arrived in a palanquin. There were learned brahmanas who were chanting all sorts of mantras around him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized him as his associate, Vishakhadevi. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to run there, but he was thinking, you know, this is not appropriate. You know, this is not going to be accepted by the brahmanas. So he then exhibited the effulgence of 100 suns to attract Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy came to see him and offered obeisances, and they both embraced. And now that's very unusual, highly unlikely in the stratified Brahminical society, that someone like Lord Chaitanya, who is born in a Brahmin family, sannyasi, would embrace the Shudra. I mean, previously, if a Shudra stepped on a Brahmin's shadow, he could be like beaten up or something like that. So imagine just running up. I mean, it'd be like even nowadays, if you had a Brahmin embrace a bungi. Bungi are the people who clean up the streets and actually clean the stool ditches. So it would just be... I mean, even if I were to do something like that, you know, embrace one of the bungis, people would be shocked to see that. What to speak of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, high-class Brahminical family, sannyasi embracing what was considered to be a Shudra. So they embraced each other, and they both lost consciousness, and they began to exhibit the eightfold Ashtasattvika bhavas, you know, crying and shivering, and the Vyabhachari bhavas became exhibited. The Brahmanas were confused. What's happening here? This high-class Brahman is embracing the Shudra? Ooh, this is horrible. So then Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu restrained their emotions. And they decided to meet that evening and discuss in private Krishna Katha. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking a very humble position, said, I'm a Mayavadi sannyasi. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated in personalist sampradaya by Keshava Bharati. But Keshava Bharati really wasn't a Mayavadi sannyasi. He had just accepted initiation in the Bharati sampradaya. And in addition, when he gave the sannyas mantra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had previously received that sannyas mantra from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's an interesting story that before he gave Lord Chaitanya sannyas, he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, last night I had a dream. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said, last night I had a dream, you were giving me a specific mantra. Can I tell you the mantra just to verify it? And so he spoke to Keshava Bharati and whispered in his ear the sannyas mantra. And this way he initiated Keshava Bharati before Keshava Bharati initiated him. Interesting. The disciple initiating the guru. Because sannyas is actually a formality. It's not considered spiritual initiation. It's considered a formality in the social orders. So the sannyas guru is not one's eternal spiritual master as one's diksha guru is. So, Lord Chaitanya was actually very humble in this way. He said, I'm a Mayavadi sannyasi, and Ramananda Roy, being very humble, said, I'm a Shudra. You know, you're embracing a fourth class man. So that evening, they took prasad, and they had a whole discussion, and that discussion is contained in part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita called the Ramananda Samvad. That means the instructions of Ramananda. And Srila Prabhupada composed a very wonderful book on this. It's called the Ramananda Samvad. And this book was discovered by one of my godbrothers, Nrisinga Maharaj, who was briefly Jagat Guru Maharaj. And he found it in Prabhupada's room. And later on, he gave it to ISKCON, and ISKCON published this particular book. So it's a very wonderful book delineating the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. So some of the points that were made in this discussion are as follows. There was a discussion, of course, about what is life's ultimate goal and what is the process to receive or to achieve the ultimate goal. That's sadhana and sadhya, these two words in Sanskrit. Sadhana means the process, just like we have our sadhana bhakti, practice bhakti. And sadhya means what are you going to achieve by that sadhana? Very important. The devotee should remember these two words, sadhana and sadhya. Sadhana is important because it's a scientific, like Prabhupada would often say, this is a scientific process that you follow the process. Of course, the process has to be followed internally as well as externally. Otherwise, it's niyamagraha. Internally, you have to be giving your heart to Krishna while you're doing your sadhana. It's not that you just act like a robot while you're doing your sadhana. You have to be cultivating the internal mood of sharanagati, surrender. And that that mood is taught by the great acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I was just reading last night from Jamuna Devi's book, her biography, and how Prabhupada would be chanting the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur for an hour a day when he was in the UK. He was living at the manor, not Bhaktivinoda Manor, but he was living at one of the other Beatles' manors. And he was chanting for an hour a day, and the devotees would sit downstairs. He was upstairs. And the devotees would sit downstairs and listen to his chanting of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. And they would just be crying in ecstasy, hearing Prabhupada's emotional outpourings when he was chanting Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. And, just like his own Manasit, Janmat, Apoya, Radhakrishna, Navajiya. Prabhupada said that was his favorite song. Of course, Prabhupada many times said, had different favorite songs, and he even instructed Jamuna Devi to versify that form in English. You know, so Prabhupada actually wanted many of his songs translated. Prabhupada himself translated some of his songs in English and turned them into verses in English, so they could be sung and understood by people. So that'll be, in the future, that'll be very helpful for people who are coming to Krishna consciousness who just get bewildered by Sanskrit. Just like in the Catholic Church, you know, they changed a lot of the liturgy into the vernacular. Vernacular means the language that we all speak. So for presenting Krishna consciousness, it's important that some of the verses given to us by the acharyas are put into the language that people can understand so they can imbibe the spirit. Of course, we don't chant the Hare Krishna mantra in English, but that would be interesting. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. My dear Srimati Radharani, please engage me in service. Because then move one beat up. You know, we obviously chant Hare Krishna in Sanskrit. But many of these other mantras, they can be translated into English and utilized to help people understand the spirit of pure devotional service. Because if we simply stick with Sanskrit and people don't understand it, they'll be disconnected. So anyway, there was this discussion about sadhana and sadhya. Remember I said sadhana is the process, sadhya is the goal. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was posing the questions and Ramananda Roy was answering. And then Lord Chaitanya first said, you know, what is the ultimate goal of life? What is the process to reach it? And Ramananda Roy said, you know, varnashram. You know, one should follow, I mean, any quoted verses from the Bhagavatam and other scriptures, Chaturvarna, Mayashastam, from the Gita, of course, Varnashrama, Chara, Vata, Purukshena, Parat, Paman, that one can please Krishna by following Varnashrama. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is simply external. So really, you know, give me something higher. And then Ramananda Roy recited this verse in the Gita, Yat Karoshi Yadashnashi Yajahoshi Gadasi Yat. Yatat Pashashi Kontiya Tat Kurushwa Madarpanam. Whatever you go offer, whatever you give away, should be done as an offering to Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya said, you know, this is also external. And it's interesting, Krishna's instruction being external in the Bhagavad Gita, well, it's external in the sense that people utilize that verse to perform what's called karma misra bhakti. That means bhakti mixed with the fruit of desire. In other words, like you have the Satyanarayan Katha that people do nowadays, they worship Narayan in order to get things, or they go to the deity like Balaji and they make an offering and they expect to make a business deal and be successful in a business deal. So that's not really the heart of pure devotional service. I mean, it's an activity that we perform, but it's not the heart of pure devotional service. And then Lord Chaitanya said, go further. And then Ramananda Roy replied, well, one should renounce one's occupation and duties for Krishna. He quoted, of course, from the 18th chapter, 66th verse, Sarvadharma Parityaja, Mamakam Sharanam Vraja. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, this also I'm not so interested in. This is just, you know, go higher than this, than just simply renouncing your duties, renouncing everything. And then Ramananda Roy recited this verse, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, Ashokshati Nakanshati, Samaksarabeshu, Bhuteshu, Madhbhaktim, Labhate Puran. That if one, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, If one's on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then he's joyful. He's not hankering or lamenting for anything. He's equal to all living entities. In this way, one can take up devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I reject this too, because this is Yanamishra Bhakti, that you're simply interested in becoming joyful and renouncing this material world and being on Brahma-Bhuta platform. So I want something higher. And then Ramananda Roy recited a verse glorifying pure devotional service, Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Gyanakaravanavritam, which is the nutshell verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Pure devotional service is devoid of any fruitive endeavor, desire for liberation, and it has the qualities of being active and done with devotion for Krishna and doing according to what Krishna wants. So when he recited that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's right, but I want something more. Finally, he got something right. You know, I want something more. And then Ramananda Roy talked about ecstatic love for Krishna and having greed, loyam, which Prabhupada described and the Acharyas described as the price of pure devotional service. Greed, intense greed, or tears. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, this is very good, but I want you to go higher. And then Ramananda Roy went higher, and he talked about servitude, dasharas, because previously it was shantaras, which is also, you know, ecstatic, but it's not really the constitutional position of a living entity. So then he described servitude, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's good, but I want more. Go higher. And he talked about friendship, sakyaras, and then Lord Chaitanya said, that's good, but I want more. And then he started describing about the parental relationship with Salyaras, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's very nice, but I want even something higher. And then Ramananda Roy talked about the conjugal relationship between Radha and Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yo, that's wonderful, but I want something further. So, obviously, frankly speaking, there's nothing further than conjugal relationship, but there's the higher aspects of conjugal relationship. And Ramananda Roy said, before this day, no one has asked that question to go higher than that. And so then Ramananda Roy began to describe Radharani's love, and then the mood of Vipra Lamba Seva, describing when Krishna, when Krishna was left, and then Radharani was feeling separation, and the gopis were imitating Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. And then he even described when Radharani left the rasa dance, Krishna followed her. In other words, he gave up all the other gopis, just like nothing, just to follow Srimati Radharani. So anyway, and so there was this whole discussion like that. And so they discussed for 10 days these different topics of Krishna consciousness. So and then on some other days, they actually had some other interesting discussions that are actually more relevant to us at this point. What are the questions? Yeah, there's like 13 questions that were asked by Lord Chaitanya of Ramananda Roy. He said, what is the best education? And Ramananda Roy replied, devotional service is the only valuable education. Of course, we have other education to support devotional service. It's not that we just like chant Hare Krishna and don't learn anything else. We have to, avidya, described in the Ishvapanishad, we have to cultivate knowledge to how to work, live in this world in order to serve Krishna. And what's the most glorious activity? The most glorious is devotees in devotional service. Who's the topmost capitalist? Was the next question asked. And Ramananda Roy replied, who is rich, the person who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna? He's a capitalist. It's an interesting description of a capitalist. What is the most painful distress? And the answer was separation from devotees of the Lord. Who is the greatest liberated person? He was love for Krishna. What are the best songs? And the answer was about the loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna. What is the most auspicious and beneficial activity? And the only auspicious activity is association with devotees. Wow. What should we remember? Krishna's qualities, names, and pastimes. What's the best meditation? The lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Amazing instructions. Where should one live? In Brajabhumi. What are the best topics? The loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Who is the best worshipable object? The holy name of Radha and Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Very interesting. And what's the destination of those who want liberation and those who want sense gratification? Those who want liberation get bodies of people like trees, like bodies like trees. I mean, that's what he said. And those who want sense gratification go to the heavenly planets and they get bodies of demigods. Then, after this whole discussion, Lord Chaitanya exhibited his form of Shyama Sundara like a golden doll, in a golden form. And Ramananda Roy asked, "What's happening? Why am I seeing this?" And Lord Chaitanya replied, "You're an advanced devotee." Yeah, because Ramananda Roy said, "You're Krishna." And Lord Chaitanya said, "You're an advanced devotee. You see Krishna everywhere." And Ramananda Roy said, "Give up this joking." And so he recognized Lord Chaitanya as Krishna and the mood of Radharani. And then he saw the form of Radha and Krishna as one, you know, the intertwined form that you've seen, I'm sure some of you have seen the pictures of. And Lord Chaitanya said, "You are the only one who has ever seen this form." And Lord Chaitanya said, "My body is golden colored because it has touched the body of Srimati Radharani. This is a secret. So come to Jagannath Puri and retire, and we can both exchange talks about Radha and Krishna." So he was one of the 3.5 most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one interesting story about Ramananda Roy's renunciation was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu often would say that Ramananda Roy was more renounced than he was. And Ramananda Roy, remember, didn't take sannyas. He was like a householder. So there's an interesting story that illustrates this. Once upon a time, this great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prajuna Mishra, wanted to hear about the same talks that we just discussed between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. So we went to Lord Chaitanya and said, "I want to hear about these talks that were talked about at Vijayanagar, which is on the banks of the Godavari." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I don't know much about these things, but you should go and hear from Ramananda Roy." So he went to Ramananda Roy's house, and Ramananda Roy wasn't there, but what he was doing at that point was teaching the Devi Dasis how to dance, especially Jagannath Priyanatakam, the drama he had written to entertain Lord Jagannath. Because in those days, the Devi Dasis, they were the temple dancers, they would dance before the Lord in private, not in front of everybody. They were actually very chaste ladies. Nowadays, of course, Devi Dasi sometimes means, you know, prostitutes, temple prostitutes. But in those days, it meant someone who, you know, a lady, a very chaste lady, would only dance in front of the deities, not in public, in front of other men. So Ramananda Roy was teaching the Devi Dasis how to dance, and in order to teach them how to dance, these beautiful young girls, he had to, you know, touch their bodies in different ways, dress them, decorate them. And remember, he was a man. And so Prajuna Mishra, when he heard from Ramananda Roy's servant that that's what Ramananda Roy was doing, he got a little bewildered. And when Ramananda Roy finally came back, he just offered his obeisances and went back to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Have you heard about Krishna from Ramananda Roy?" And Prajuna Mishra replied, telling him what had happened when he went to Ramananda Roy's house and what Ramananda Roy had been doing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I consider myself a renounced sannyasi, but even if I see the wooden form of a lady, I feel changes in my mind and body. And Ramananda Roy is the only one with the prerogative to be able to do that." So then Prajuna Mishra went back to see Ramananda Roy the following day, and he had these discussion with Ramananda Roy, you know, about the loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna. So in that particular instance, Ramananda Roy exhibited his extreme detachment. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya told us, because Ramananda Roy was identifying himself with his eternal spiritual form as Vishakha. He wasn't identifying himself with the body. As long as we identify ourselves with this body, then we're going to feel the pushings and pullings and the desire to enjoy the senses. I mean, just like I had that experience the other day, you know, practical experience, you know, I got bitten by some chiggers. You know, chiggers? You know, so I got these chigger bites here. So then I, you know, it's itchy. So you scratch it, and it's enjoyable. You go, isn't that nice? And then you go in the shower, and you turn on the hot water, and I have some on my back, too. And you turn on the back, and just, oh, wow, this is nectar. Isn't it? I mean, that's material enjoyment, because as soon as we're identifying with the body, I mean, I'm just thinking how crazy that is. That here I am, you're supposed to be a Vaishnava, or aspiring Vaishnava, and I'm thinking this is ecstatic, scratching my body. Isn't that horrible? And so, I mean, it really makes one humble, you know, I think I'm such a great guru and everything like that. And, oh, ecstasy, ecstasy, ecstasy. So all material enjoyment is like that. It's just a cessation. It's bringing you back with a homeostasis, you know, to a stable situation. It's not positive enjoyment. It's that you have some imbalance and you're bringing yourself back to balance, isn't it? Any material desire, like hunger. Like you're hungry and that, oh, it's so enjoyable, you're eating, you know, quinoa, whatever it is. And then... And so we have this problem. We're identifying ourselves with this body. And we're just deriving pleasure from the itching sensation that comes from the various senses. So Ramananda Roy, getting on the other hand, his body was spiritual. I mean, don't want to compare him to us. But he's teaching us that if we identify ourselves with our actual spiritual identity, then we're not going to be overwhelmed either with the pleasures or pains or the desire to enjoy this material world. And so that's real renunciation. Real renunciation is not like those devotees in New York who wanted to kick all the women out of the temple so they could have a peaceful japa time. Remember the story? And Prabhupada said, you know, this is crazy. I mean, let them go to the forest and there won't be any preaching. And they're in New York, you know, they're meeting so many people in New York. I mean, imagine New York. And the ladies in the temple, of course, had their heads covered, wearing saris, and the men were agitated. It's crazy. So, otherwise, you know, things will agitate us in this world. Either anger, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udra pashta vegam. So we have to take our self-identification away from this body. And identify ourselves. I mean, ultimately, as whoever we are in the spiritual world, but in the meantime, as servants of Krishna. That we can do right away. You know, jivera svupahoy nija Krishna das. I am Krishna's servant. That self-identification can be instituted even before we come to the perfectional platform. And when we're in the perfectional platform, then we achieve extreme renunciation by identifying ourselves with who we are, spiritual body. Okay. Hari Bol, Ramananda Roy Ki Jai. Okay.
I guess the mind bodies become trees of those who don't successfully get to the
mind. Yeah, then later on they come and do charitable activities that open up hospitals.